Great. Thank you. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Juliet and Ziva. Thank you so much for asking me to share today. My name is Dan. I'm a recovering anorexic. And it's nice to be on this meeting with all of your faces. It's great to see a meeting full of people with their cameras on. What it was like, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like today. What it was like is, I often use the word distortion, and I was so distorted when when this disease really came into my life. I didn't even know that it was happening to me. I thought that, anorexia really does parade itself as what our society in many ways deems as positive attributes. I thought that I was being disciplined. I thought that I was being spiritual. I thought that I was being meek. I thought that I was being, people would say things like, I wish I had your willpower. How do you do it? And maybe everyone here knows this, and I don't need to talk like this, but anorexia really is celebrated until you cross a certain point. Then you're really weird. But up until that point, it is like, oh my, applause, approval, you're so cool. So I just thought, yeah, I meditate an hour and a half a day. I don't eat sugar. I don't eat wheat. I don't eat dairy. I don't eat beef. I got it together. I ride my bike. I live in LA. I don't pollute the environment like all those lowly heathens of human beings. And, I got it going on. And I didn't know that I didn't know I was starving myself. I didn't know that, anorexia is very physical, and starvation creates adrenaline. And I thought that adrenaline was energy. I didn't know that I was using that adrenaline to deal with feelings. I didn't know any of it. I just thought this is the right thing to do. And I knew I was obsessed with food and what I'd eaten. I knew that I would ruminate and ruminate and ruminate. Fat grams, was it organic? Was it pure? Did I really need that much? Why did you have to have those last three bites? Like I knew it was incredibly loud in my mind. So I heard that as food obsession. So I came to OA and was not at all ready when I was 20, by the way. I'm 57. I was 20 when I first came. And wasn't ready at all to hear the word anorexia, to think about it, to deal with what lied beneath it. So I went back out from 20 to 25 and got sicker and sicker, discovered New Age spirituality. That's really when the kind of intertwining of spirituality and anorexia really happened. I also believe I needed that time. I wasn't ready to get abstinent at 20. I really believe I got abstinent the day I was ready. I really, really believe that. Because what I then would have to feel, I can't even put it into words. I grew up in generational trauma, real generational trauma. That's not just Los Angeles speak for those of you in other parts of the world. That's very real. My mother was raped multiple times, didn't get help. My father was horribly abused in an alcoholic home. They got no help whatsoever, and they joined a religious cult. Didn't help, just in case anyone was wondering, didn't help. So there was a lot. And my answer to that was just look as good as possible, get my life together as much as possible, and pretend everything's fine. And so when I came to OA and I now understand what I had to do was start to feel the truth of my life. And I was not ready at 20. And I wasn't ready at 21, 22, 23, 24. When in April, in my 25th year of life, my higher power said, okay, I think he might be ready. And I think he might have the support around him. So I came back to OA again, obsessed with food, obsessed with food. I say that in quotes because now I know I was never obsessed with food. I was obsessed with controlling food, and that's very different. It's not the same thing. Because the way out of my obsession with controlling food is not to control more food. The way out of my obsession with controlling food is to stop controlling food. So I came back to OA and for 9 months, identified as a compulsive overeater, started losing more weight. I'm 6'5". My going weight was about 150, 155, which is hideously underweight. But that's when I was telling people that's when people were telling me I should be a model. When I was 6'5 and 155 pounds. That's the truth. And then I came to OA and lost about 30 more pounds. And that's when I almost died. And in that was my deepest distortion. That's when I truly believed I was overeating. That's when I had dark circles under my eyes. That's when I had a big bald patch right here. And I remember looking in the mirror at my bald patch and my dark circles, and I had peach fuzz on my face. And I remember going, but I eat so much food. What's happening to me? And I believe that. I wasn't like playing a little trick on myself. I believe that's how distorted I was. And the reason that is because this disease is physical. It makes me feel like I've been stuffed. Just like I believe overeaters in the depths of their disease are 600 pounds and believe they need three more pizzas. They have the physical sensation of that hunger. I had the physical sensation of eating six pies after eating a half of an apple and eight almonds. It is a physical distortion. It's an emotional distortion and it's a spiritual disease. And so I came back to OA. I was in OA for 9 months. And my first step story, I think, is incredibly important. I've told it a million times. It's when I popped. I was working in a restaurant. I popped. I ate, went back in the back of the restaurant, ordered a sandwich, ate the whole sandwich, ate the whole side of fries. And I walked up to a friend who I was working with. And I think it was the first time I actually shared honestly with somebody. She was in OA, she was my Eskimo, and I actually said out loud in my mouth what was really going on in my mind about food. And that honesty, that moment of honesty, I believe opened the door for me to get abstinent and to find a higher power. I mean, I had been in OA, I had been listening to people in OA, overeaters, bulimics, and anorexics, talking about their truth of their life. And listening, I didn't know this was happening to you, but listening to people tell about how they were, I wasn't molested, but how they were molested and how their overweight body became their barrier and their protection and their way of disappearing from the world. And listening about how bulimics, this double life that these bulimics were living, was their way of like fitting into the world and being this like real person, but then this fake person, and they knew where all the barf spots were, and it was like they were like food spies, and it was their truth. And listening to other people really tell their truth in LA, where recovery is so strong, I didn't know what was happening to me, but it was slowly starting to give me not just permission, but the tools to face the truth of my life. And so that I was working the steps, I was doing what everybody said, going to six meetings a week, taking commitments, setting up the chairs, talking to people, raising my hand at every meeting, doing everything that everybody said. And I believe that's what led me to this moment. I ate the sandwich, it was a meatloaf sandwich. I ate the whole thing. I ate it really fast. I ate the whole side of fries and I walked up to my friend and I let my anorexic voice come out of my mouth. And I said, I just went on a binge. I ate the sandwich emotionally. This is why I can't eat these foods. This is toxic for my body. This is unspiritual. I'm being unspiritual by eating this way. And I let her see it. And she said, well, thank you for sharing. This happened in the bus station in Beverly Hills. She said, thank you for sharing. I think that sandwich might have just saved your life. I think you're about to lose your life to anorexia. And have you ever thought, Dan, that maybe putting food in your body grounds you and puts you
Gentle
on the earth?
reminder, 10
Thank
minutes
you.
left.
Thank you. Have you ever thought that maybe food grounds you and puts you on the earth, and that is where your higher power wants you to be? And I got mad and I thought, in my mind, an anorexic person is a white woman in a hospital who's 90 pounds with an IV in her arm. That's not me. I should have been in a hospital. I don't know how I lived through it, but I heard, and then after I got mad, she just smiled and walked out of the bus station. And then I heard the most important thing in, I think, in my life, actually. I heard a higher power for the first time in my life, a real higher power. And that higher power said, Dan, have you ever thought that maybe your problem is not the food? Maybe your problem is the guilt you feel about the food. And it was the first time that little question happened that maybe what I go through when I eat is distorted. Maybe I can't trust that feeling of being stuffed after eating a half of an apple and six almonds. Maybe I really can't trust it. Maybe it's wrong. So that was my first abstinent meal. And then I started eating three balanced meals a day. And I gained 55 pounds in 2 months, and I went from being a guy who was fine, who just had a really weird food problem, to a guy who was not fine at all. And I remember calling Daryl, who now lives in Mexico, and this was that week sometime. And I remember I was on the feet in the fetal position, sobbing so hard that my sides hurt. And then her asking me, why are you crying, Dan? And I always get emotional when I reveal the answer. My answer was, I don't know. And then I get really emotional when she says, well, you know what? We're going to find out. And, people know I really saved my life. And I should have died. Like, I really, really should have died. And I know I'm not the only one in this room who has a story like this. I wasn't fine. And OA started to give me the tools to start to slowly, one day at a time, get honest about my pain, get honest about my family, get honest about my past, get honest about my present. And it started and starts still to this day. By eating three full balanced meals a day and getting full three times a day. And I always say in meetings that are not anorexia meetings, I hope you can hear your story and my story. I know it's a different experience, but I heard from overeaters, as I kind of said before, I heard from overeaters about the disappearing act. I heard about how their big body and their food obsession was their way of disappearing from this world. The only difference for me is I do not disappear behind a wall of false bigness. I disappear into smallness. I disappear into false smallness and control. And just like I heard overeaters who would lose weight and they would have to feel the vulnerability of being seen, I go through that when I feel big, when I feel human. When I accept my human appetites and desires and satisfy them, I feel big and exposed. And in order to live through that and live with that bigness and that exposure, I must rely on a higher power. Because left to my own devices, the pull to find what I call one of the ways I describe my anorexia is finding a sick sense of safety in smallness. And I have had moments in my recovery. Something's going on. I don't know what. Maybe something great is going on. I once found myself in the shower rinsing the water over my head, and it came out of my mouth. I just want to cut something out. That's my safety zone. Cut it out, make it small, come up with another rule, and then you need another rule, and then you need another rule, and then you need another rule, and then you die. And that is the trajectory of anorexia. So, anyway, I got abstinent, and that is where the work began. I mean, yes, I'm so grateful that I got abstinent, But that's when I had to start to do that next indicated thing. And that
Gentle
next in
reminder, 5 minutes left.
thank you so much. That next indicated thing and that next indicated thing. And I started to see that my anorexia was in my entire life. My anorexia is a life disorder. It is not a food disorder. I did it with sex. I did it with shopping. I did it with friendship. I was once invited to Magic Mountain, an amusement park here in LA. And I proudly told them that I don't believe in fun. And I walked away and I felt that clean, powerful feeling of like, oh, I don't go to roller, I don't ride roller coasters. I don't eat funnel cakes. I'm not like you humans. I have had to face and accept and learn to love and enjoy, with the help of a higher power, my human experience. And that is my recovery today. I celebrated 31 years of abstinence in April. I weigh 212 pounds today. I have a big, beautiful life beyond my wildest dreams. Not just the anorexia, but from the childhood and the family I came from. And I do have a lot of love and compassion for my family today, but I also face the truth of my family. And from that family, I had therapists tell me, "You're lucky to be alive." And they're not talking about anorexia. They're talking about the psychological and emotional torture that I was raised in, and that I picked up anorexia to survive. I really believe when I hear alcoholics and overeaters talk about how the disease is the solution, not the problem, that was what I needed to survive. And I was not ready to start to put it down until the very day I did. And so, doing that next indicated thing to the best of my ability, putting my recovery before all else in my life. And I haven't done it perfectly, but I did get that message at Serenity Sunday years ago. If I put my recovery first, it may not look like what I think, but it will be the life beyond my wildest dreams. And that really has happened to me. And I always say, like, this big, beautiful life that I have is not the life I planned. It is way better than what I could have ever planned. And I know I'm pretty repetitive in my sharing, but I really mean every word of this. Like, it's really my truth. I used to say in OA that we plan our lives based on our low self-worth. And my higher power never said anything. My higher power has two answers for me. No. I'm sorry, yes or no, I have something better. Yes or no, I have something better. And I just, that has come to pass in my life. And I still am a recovering anorexic every day. I still sometimes wake up and look at my cereal bowl or my whatever and think, are you kidding me?
Gentle
I have to eat.
reminder, 2 minutes.
Thank you so much. I have to eat that whole thing, but I do. And then on the other side of that is this relaxation. And this connection to a higher power. And I don't, I'll, you know, I kind of always wrap it up by saying, and I really feel this right now. I was so lucky that my higher power saw fit to get me into recovery in that earlier part of my life. And I felt ripped off. I felt I'm 25 years old. I have to go to six, seven meetings a week. I've got friends who are in Japan and on Broadway and traveling the world and doing this and doing that. And here I am, this broken loser in these goddamn meetings with these weird people. And you know what? I did not know what was right in front of me. And I am so lucky and so grateful. And I'll just say this, even if it might feel like a little overstep. You are so lucky to be here. And I hope you feel that. And I just kind of can't put into the words the power of the steps and the power of the third step and the power of truly surrendering my life to a higher power so that I can allow my higher power to give me so much more than what I would ever, ever have been able to give to myself. So I'm so glad I'm here. I hope I had said something that connected with some of you and keep coming back. I did not know that life could be as beautiful and as healthy and available as it is today. Again, I was raised in abuse, and I would have recreated that abuse in every area of my life. And that's what I was primed for. And I see my time, and I'll just wrap it up and say, I was primed for that. I had a sponsor used to say, we are hardwired to create danger in our lives. And today I haven't had to go down that road. I live an abundant, available, beautiful, artistic life. So I couldn't be more grateful. And thank you so much for letting me share.